I am Roberta Schultz. With a mother who grew up on Leech Lake Reservation in Minnesota and a father who survived the Holocaust, David Troyer is no stranger to diaspora. In his new historical work, The Heartbeat of Wounded Knee, Native America from 1890 to the Present, Troyer fashions his own answer to the 1970 Dee Brown bestseller, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. Although a novelist, anthropologist, and professor of literature and creative writing by trade, David Troyer delivers a well-documented history of the rich, resilient, and multidimensional story that Native people have been living over the past century or so in America. From the beginning, Troyer takes us through what happened to various Native cultures upon first contact with Europeans bent on their removal and extermination. And in each account, the result is pretty much the same. Even though Europeans tried to force Native people from their lands, there were always large pockets of those societies that would not be removed from their land of origin. Seminoles remain in their ancestral swamps, Ojibwe stay near their lakes, and many Cherokee flourish in their mountains, Pueblos still live very near their ancient sites, and the Blackfeet are still in Montana. Part 1, entitled Narrating the Apocalypse, describes the history of Native people on this continent from 10,000 BCE to 1890, the year of the Wounded Knee Massacre, considered by the broader culture to sound the death knell for Native cultures. It is the 1890 massacre of a village of Lakota by the U.S. Cavalry that gives this book and Dee Brown's their titles. Troyer decided to write his sweeping account of Native history after Dee Brown's book left him feeling intensely conflicted. While acknowledging that Brown was a passionate advocate for Indian lives and rights, Troyer added, "And yet, I felt so silenced. It was as though Brown made a grave for me, put me in it, and then mourned my passing." Throughout this well-documented, over 400-page volume, it is hard for the reader to imagine that Native people have gone anywhere or live only tragic lives, since Troyer uses his considerable skill as a novelist to bring us the real-life, resilient characters who have peopled his world growing up on Leech Lake Reservation. Parts 2 through 4 take the reader through various government approaches to the Indian problem, from assimilation to the Indian school movement to the reservation system, and finally to the insidious policies of termination and relocation. While termination sounds like death, it literally meant ending the Indian status as Indian. These policies and programs the U.S. government used to define and deal with Native Americans spanned 1891 through 1970. In this section, Troyer includes the text of President Johnson's War on Poverty State of the Union Address, where, for the first time, Indians were mentioned as fellow Americans who also had to deal with the crushing yoke of poverty. In Part 5, Troyer discusses Becoming Indian from 1970 to 1990, a time in our history when government policies and Native self-definition spawned several social movements. In Part 5, Troyer examines the positive effects of organizations like the American Indian Movement on Native identity, while delivering unvarnished details about some of the regrettable violence detracting from that movement's story. In Part 6, there is an amazing anecdote of how Indian casinos were made possible by an overreach in state authority. When the state of Minnesota misinterpreted a federal law, PL 280, which was passed to ensure Native access to state criminal courts, to mean that states could collect property taxes on reservations, a lengthy court battle ensued that set the stage for tribal capitalism and, therefore, casinos. All because a property evaluation worker delivered a $148 property tax bill to a trailer situated on the remote north end of Leech Lake Reservation. The final section of the book discusses struggles during the digital age of 1990 through 2018, including the recent protests over Dakota Access Pipeline on Standing Rock Reservation. While I appreciate the well-documented and sweeping historical content of Troyer's book, I love the personal narrative sections where the author would introduce a contemporary member of his community, like his uncle, Bobby Matthews, a man who truly makes his living off the land through harvesting wild rice, picking pine cones for seed, gathering leeches for bait, and even harvesting cranberry bark as a natural cure for menstrual cramps. The sections I found most fascinating were those when the author tagged along with Bobby Matthews to get a lesson on how to pick pine cones without getting pine tar on his hands, or how to outsmart competition for his Leech Lake by setting twice as many traps as his hapless interlopers. While reading the dialogue between David Troyer and Bobby Matthews, somehow it's impossible to imagine an America where Indians will remain either tragic or silent. The Heartbeat of Wounded Knee by David Troyer was just published by Riverhead Books in January of 2019. You can find a link to the scholarly and personal account of Native America over the past 125 years at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I am Roberta Schultz.